This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm pleased to say my cup runneth over, Aidan O'Connell, Declan Buckley. Join us once again. We were just discussing biblical quotes in your off air.
That's the
crazy way we roll here. Anyway, here's your first question. I've been married for 8 years now. We've 3 kids. Okay. Life is busy and I hardly have a moment to myself between work and family life. I recently left the house wearing mismatched socks because I have to dress in the dark so as not to wake anyone. Then that night, my wife had the gall to accuse me of letting myself go. She also said I've a midlife spread and that I used to dress much sharper before we got married. We kind of laughed about it at the time, but it's been bothering me ever since. She's the one at home while I'm the one out getting the bacon. Obviously round your belly as well. I haven't said this word, but it's very easy to stay in shape when you have time to go to the gym and the hairdressers. I barely have a moment for anything. Plus, I honestly don't see the point in making a massive effort to look sharp when I have the wife and the family sorted. I realise I'm no David Hasselhoff. What? Yeah. Anyway, okay. Isn't he like a gazillion years old? But come on, I'm a busy working dad just trying to keep the show on the road. How do I get her to be a little more sympathetic to my situation without starting a row? Well, compare yourself to David Hasselhoff, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah? Baywatch. this guy. I don't think that by claiming that because you've managed to get your wife and family situation sorted out, that means you got the right to just
no more effort.
Yeah, no more effort. That's kind of chaotic. Look, the reality is for him is that there's a difference between what your wife said and what you heard. Your wife is saying to you something that may be like, oh, look, you know, you're not really present, or, you know, you're not really looking very put together like you normally would have. What's going on here? Is it a health thing? Is it a mental health thing? Or is it even how you're participating in family life as well? Because I think a lot of people think that once they hit a certain point in their life, they can just go, you know, I'm just going to not care about it. I'm going to put a bit of weight on and I'm off to work. I can come home. I'm tired. Don't even have to be nice because I've already got the wife and I've already got the kids. Yeah. So what would I want to engage with them for? So from her perspective, she's saying, come on.
Yeah.
You know.
It kind of like, okay, they're only married for 8 years and they've had 3 kids. Now, we don't know when those kids were had, but it's obviously been a very hectic 8 years for them. And I understand that he's, you know, quite busy and, you know, he's working. She's, by the sounds of, she's at home with the kids, which again, that's a big task. That is a job in itself.
But it's not a competition.
It's not a competition. And he's making it out like it's competition and I'm doing more here. So I'm allowed to let myself go. Now, as you said, it's what she was actually saying and why she said it. Yeah. And I think some comments like this come from a place of concern and worry. Now, they had a bit of a laugh about it. Now, I just don't agree with the whole idea of just because he's the wife and the family, he can just stop making an effort. You want to make an effort for yourself.
Exactly,
you know, would you not want to feel good in yourself? And by the sounds of it, he doesn't feel great because he's wrecked. So I don't know, maybe like if you listen to the PTs, you know, the really intense PTs that are out there now and they're like, stop making excuses. I don't care if you work 20 hours a day. You still have 4 hours left to like go to the gym.
Yeah.
Maybe he should kind of have that bit of a mindset where he does have time to
look after himself. Who says that?
A lot of them.
A lot of who?
We all have the same 24 hours a day, according to Molly May from Love Island.
Well,
and
she can shag
hard.
Off. That's what she can do.
But aren't there a lot of these high-achieving people who kind of claim that, you know, that it takes a busy person to do stuff because the busier I am, the more things I can do and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. You know, so I agree mm-hmm. with what you're saying. I kind of think that.
But they come across as insane.
They
those
are
people.
Insane, but they're also, you can't turn around and go to somebody that I'm a busy person at work. My wife is at home doing all the housework, whatever, and that entitles me mm-hmm. to treat my marriage like a kind of a retirement plan for my hygiene yeah. and myself.
I asked around about this, like, and I asked what a lot of my friends have boyfriends and husbands, and I asked, like, what would you do? And it was kind of half and half. Like, a lot of them were like, I tell him straight out, like, if he was putting on weight, I'd tell him. If I didn't like his clothes, I'd tell him. Because a lot of women would say that you have to train a man yeah. in a relationship. Yeah. But then there's some people who are like, they would never, ever tell a man any of this because they're as self-conscious as we are. And the thing is, I was thinking about this.
Is there not a category where they don't need to tell them?
But like, I would want to be told. If I was letting myself go in anyway, I would want to be told. But I'd also think you're an absolutely horrible person and I'd start crying. I would name it first.
And you know? Even if she used the phrase, you're letting yourself go, that's kind of hard.
And the midlife spread?
Yeah.
So he's obviously annoyed now. So that's going to itch into that relationship.
But rather than
kind
of jumping straight into this kind of defensive mode of like, you know, you said this and therefore I'm going to shut down and list all the ways in which I'm contributing more to our marriage than you are, I would just catch a breath. I'd actually find out why she's asking the question or making the statement, because there are times in I think sometimes thoughts cross people's minds in a relationship where they look at the person that they're with, and, you know, I'm in a relationship for a long time, and sometimes I look at my husband and I go, ah, you're lovely. No, sometimes I look and I go, oh God, you know, what would happen if anything happened to that person? You know, when these kind of crisis thoughts pop into your head and you go, well, the best way for us to stave off any kind of heart disease or whatever is for me to nag about you know,
this.
Going for
and
a run
the,
or
the
mismatched
socks. I would not say that's the thing to be getting yourself upset about, but maybe she's noticing you kind of
slowing down.
Yeah, doting, as we call it down at Kerry, like doting a little bit. And maybe she's a bit worried, like. Yeah, but if she's gone about it a really wrong way. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, well, if your man seems to have this idea that he's accepting he used to dress better, but sure, that was only just to get a woman. And now I have one. I don't need to be spending all that money on clothes.
Which is a ghastly way to look at it. But like as Aideen said already, like, you know, getting married isn't an excuse to just cop out on having a shower.
Yeah.
And, you know, and where does your level of self-respect end? Where does the line end between, you know, thinking that this is how I'll catch a woman or this is how I'll just be, you know, healthy and clean.
And if you look after
yourself,
like, other areas of your life do get better from the point of like exercising and washing yourself. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. John in Kilkenny says, my wife said something similar a few years ago, so I did something about it. Lost 2 stone, bought new clothes, then I got accused of having an affair. So we can't win.
Yeah. Well, you know. You know, that's a different story though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you know, if you go to the other extreme of suddenly feeling good about yourself, that can be triggering as well for somebody in a relationship. But the bottom line for this guy though is, I think, you know, she's saying to you, I miss the way you used to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not enough for you to feel like you're taking care of us.
Maybe she feels neglected in the marriage because he is so busy and because now he just doesn't seem to want to make an effort that she feels like. Because she obviously looks after herself and goes to the gym. So she's probably like, why am I putting all this effort in to not have it return back?
Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door, individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
But you can be better for yourself.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't get married, lads. I say people just stay away from it altogether.
If this was the other way around and the husband said this to the wife, you would be appalled and destroy him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well done.
You
for
see, yeah, look.
You see, we prefer to keep your comments to what we're actually talking yeah. about rather than some, you know, theoretical yeah. parallel there.
It is true, though, that we, you know, we are a little bit more careful about how, you said it earlier on, actually, and if it had been a man saying, you know, you're after putting on loads of weight, you know, we would be a little
You'd
bit more
horrified.
Horrified,
yeah.
because we're more used to hearing a woman describe how hurt she was about that thing happening.
Yeah.
Whereas for men are trained to be, you know, different in the world.
Yeah.
And it's about that, I suppose. But yeah, that's a fair point. But I still think, though, that the woman said it, not necessarily to be scathing or judgmental.
No, I think there's probably other things going on there. And he, obviously, by the sounds of it, is kind of like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't do anything at all. But
and
you can,
go.
You can. Look, you've 24 hours in the day.
Yeah. No, well, he needs to sleep.
Look.
I mean, as it is, he's getting up in the middle of the night, it seems, and putting on odd socks. What does it matter if he's put on weight? Surely if they're married for 8 years, there's more to the relationship than looks. That's true.
Very true.
You'd hope so. Women are worried if you were just sitting on the couch. But women can't stand men who are fully relaxing.
Is this the hashtag fact?
Yeah, I don't know. It's totally, totally true. That's science, that is. Yeah, right there. So he needs to go back and have a kind of a conversation with her and see what she's saying.
What did you mean by that? Yeah, I have been thinking about it a lot. And what is it?
Yeah.
And then they can open the lines of communications there, but not like start getting angry at each other over it. But she was kind of laughing about it, so I don't know. I don't think she'll come at it in a really angry way. But his kind of back is up against the wall now, he feels. So he has to be careful about how he does approach
it. I wonder, did she say to him initially, because actually David in Galway says, he wonders, was she tongue in cheek when she said it?
Yes.
And it was a bit jokey, but he's going, oh no, there's something going on beneath that, you know.
But then does that mean he's a bit self-conscious? Maybe because he realises that he's not maybe being as sharp as he used to or looking as sharp as he used to maybe, and that's why it's really got to him, because usually that can happen with people making comments to you even if they're lighthearted. It's hitting something in him that obviously does upset him about himself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
maybe this is the eye opening moment that he needs.
Could be.
Could be.
Someone else says, I love the way you let that you have to train a man comment. Was that slide? Do women have to be trained also?
Oh yeah, like men and women have to be trained in, like, you do, because like we were talking about this in the holidays and stuff.
Don't throw me under the bus.
Yeah,
but you know, because people have different communication styles and you have different ideas of what life is and your day to day, that both of you in a relationship, that is, you're basically training each other the
entire time.
It's
a jokey way of saying finding the compromise. Yes. Right. It's a jokey way of saying that.
But specifically in the area of clothes, I would contend it's much more common for, if a couple are heading out for the night, for the woman to say to the man, are you wearing that?
So
meaning go upstairs and change.
There is a trend.
And buy the shirt I bought you, but it never happens in the reverse.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Men,
yeah.
I will say, look, and it might be a generalization, and these are all good things, that you see a man and he mightn't address, he dressed grand, like, minute he gets a woman, he is sharp as anything, lads. Looking fantastic. Best dressed man at the races. And it's because of the woman's touch, I have to say. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Look.
Or he'd come out.
Okay. right. Yes, could be even a man's touch is happening. Oh, this is going to get some interesting comments. A few years ago, I left my wife after nearly 10 years together. There wasn't another woman involved at the time, and there was no huge betrayal or dramatic event. I think I convinced myself I was unhappy and missing out on life because we got married in our mid-20s. We'd become more like roommates than husband and wife, and instead of trying to properly fix things, I walked away. It absolutely crushed her. At the time, I justified it by telling myself it was better to be honest than stay in a marriage my heart wasn't fully in. While she struggled through the divorce, I threw myself into the so-called single life, dating, travelling, enjoying freedom and acting like a man who had suddenly got his youth back. I thought I'd made the right decision, but over the past year or so, something has shifted. The novelty wore off and I started realising that what I had with my ex-wife was actually rare. Nobody has ever understood me or cared for me the way she did. She's been seeing someone seriously for several months, and from what I hear, he treats her incredibly well. Friends say she seems happy, and I should be pleased for her after the pain I caused, but instead I feel jealous and full of regret. I genuinely believe I made the biggest mistake in my life, and that I owe it to both of us to say something before it's too late. Do I tell her how I feel, or do I accept that I had my chance and leave her alone to be happy with someone else?
If that man came up to my door, go away from me. If he came back. Not don't even dare darken my door. There's actually very little to say about this because he made his bed and he has, by the sound of it, made his bed with a lot of people over the last while.
Yeah.
You made your decision. You didn't try to work on the relationship. You say that you threw yourself into so-called single life, doing whatever, dating, traveling. Yeah, good for you. Who's, and you suddenly got your youth back. And now all of a sudden, this woman, when you see she's happy and she's doing well with the new guy who's treating her better than you, you coming back into the picture. No, there is no way. Oh my God. And I hope if you ever went back to that woman, that she has the strength to close the door right in his face. Because no, that's not. I presume, Declan, you're on the same.
I am. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was just. Yeah, it's that the Joni Mitchell song. You know, it's the built. It's the, don't you know? Always seem to go that you don't know what.
You've got till it's gone.
Thank you. That just starts out playing in my head there, and that's because this is all about this guy wanting stuff that he thinks he can't have. The problem arose because when he was in a marriage with the same woman. He thought that the grass far away was greener and he was thinking of all the ways in which his life could be much better. He pursued that line of a life and you know, that was his right. But the consequence was that he damaged the relationship they had and he broke her heart and all that kind of stuff. She's put her life back together again and now he's looking around for, you know, a way in which his life could be better and he sees her, you know, improving her life or looking happy, and he thinks that he can get that back because he's come, you know, commodifying everything. And absolutely, she should slam the door in his face. Now, the only thing that she could possibly get out of it is knowing that he wants her back.
Yeah,
because that would be like, that would be the only thing. And if he wants to give her that gift, by all means, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing you get out of it because that horse is gone so far out of that barn that it's now, you know, taking the ferry to France or wherever the horse is going. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, she's moving on. She is gone. And he's just constantly looking for, you know.
Yeah. He sounds like a type of person who'd never be happy with what he has.
And you need to think about that. Why is that? Because the reality of it is that, you know, some choices you make in life can be rectified. You can decide, you can, like you described, you can put an outfit on to go out for the night and then, you know, somebody can advise you that that's a stupid idea, you go back and change. That's a mistake you can rectify. The mistake that he's made with this relationship is not really one, you know. There's too many variables in there and there's too much time gone past. And also, of course, that there's absolutely no way that she's going to want
to. Yeah, and be unselfish here and actually think about the woman who you claim to love and how hurt she was after what you did. If you really, really, really loved her, you would just let her go now.
I think
obviously has some sort of like an ego because he said, what did he say? I owe it to both of us. You don't owe anything to
her. You see, that's the thing. I wonder, does this fella actually need to go for counselling?
Yeah.
Because the utter narcissism of this of this email and really the very strong suspicion that he's really only interested in her now because she's got somebody and she's happy with that person. Because perhaps maybe he wanted to leave her and leave her heartbroken because he's a player, you know.
Exactly. And if they get back together, and if that was to happen, which I hope it never does, he will do the same thing.
Yeah.
He will repeat the same patterns and she will be left to deal with it.
You know,
way,
you know, you're reading a book or you're watching a movie where, the person who, you know, needs to learn from their mistake in order to kind of, you know, become a better person. There's absolutely no evidence in this letter that this person has had any insight into what's gone wrong in his life, other than the fact that he can see that his wife is happy and she's moved on. Because, you know, there's no sign anywhere. Like, you know, he sold his wild oats. Grand. So what? Yeah. You know, that's not an accomplishment. That's just like, you know, what you're up to. And you know, for many people, that's their way of life. And, you know, I wish them well. But the bottom line is that at the end of the day, you know, he has made all the choices that got him where he's going. And the only person that's going to get him somewhere better is him.
Is it?
You know, he has to go, what is it I want? What is it? Who is it that I am?
Yeah.
And who is it that I want to be with that's actually available?
Yeah. He needs counselling. But can I just commend her for putting her life back together? Because it's very difficult after a breakup like that.
Yeah.
And I presume she felt so lost and hurt and dealing with someone then who probably... she might have heard through the grapevine of what he was doing and this new life that he was, even how great it was, and she was probably in the pits, and for her to get out there and find someone new and be happy again. Fair play to her. So stay away from her, you madman.
One extra point. He didn't actually say he had feelings for her. The only feeling he expressed is jealousy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right on, mister. I'm a heterosexual man, by the way, just in case he thinks I wouldn't understand. Okay, fair enough. A lot of very nuanced and thoughtful comments on this. Such as grow up clown, delighted for her, and he's a feckin' gobshite. I don't think he's narcissistic at all. He just made a mistake, but you need to live with your mistakes. It doesn't make him a bad person. I can empathise with him. He did make a mistake. He seemed to be, but it's the way he phrased it. Mm-hmm. For both of us, even though she's moved on,
and he justified it. He even says his wording like, "I justified it." He never actually does apologize in the email, really.
And you know, when it's this situation, it's the thing about not realizing what you had when you have it is the realization that he needs to make. And that should be the center of this letter. And it's not. Mm-hmm. He's saying, it used to be this. I got bored.
Yeah.
I was right probably to feel bored. Then I went off and I lived my wild life and I was probably right to do that. But now I feel I want a different part. You know,
do
now
you know
I'm
what I tell him to do now? Become a monk.
Yeah. You see, what I'd he really wants is to move back with the ex-wife and then let himself go. That's his whole plan there. He's sick of having to go to the gym and buy exactly nice clothes.
That's probably what it is.
I recently went on holidays to Spain with a close friend and we've fallen out over money. For context, my friend earns significantly more than I do. Before the trip, she suggested several high-end restaurants, cocktail bars and beach clubs that were well outside my usual budget. I mentioned a few times that they were more expensive than places I would normally choose, but she was very enthusiastic and insisted they were must-do experiences. Because she was the one pushing for these expensive venues, I assumed she was happy to cover the cost, especially as she knew my financial situation. Whenever the bill arrived, she would pay it herself or put it on her card without discussing it. At no point during the holiday did she ask me for money or say she expected me to reimburse her later. A week after we got home, she emailed me a detailed invoice for €750, covering my share of all the restaurants, drinks and activities. I genuinely had no idea she was keeping track of everything and expecting repayment. That's why she's paid more than you are. She's now angry that I haven't paid immediately, while I feel blindsided. If I'd known I was expected to contribute that much, I would never have agreed to half the places we visited. Was I wrong to expect her to foot the bill when she was the one insisting on expensive restaurants and cocktail bars?
This is a real slippery eel of a problem, because every time I thought I had a grasp on what I was thinking of it, I'd kind of shift slightly. Yeah. Because I think fundamentally, you know, we were talking about this as well before we came in, Adrian, is that, you know, going on holidays, the people you choose to go on holidays is really important, because not only is it about where you go, it's about what you do and how, whether you relax in the way that you want to relax and all of these things. So it's a very kind of intense, kind of short period of time where, you know, people do things that they wouldn't normally do. And sometimes the costs of those things can be very high. Now, the thing I noticed is that the woman who wrote in the letter starts off by making this mad assumption, which is that I think the assumption is that because somebody makes more money than you, that they should then pay for your holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there was an explicit statement where her friend said, I'm actually going to pay for all of these things. When the places were being discussed, if all that she said was, oh, that sounds like a bit expensive, and the response was, oh, but we have to go. Oh, okay, then. That's you saying, yes, I'm going to go and I'm willing to pay for that. If your friend never said, I'm going to pay for it, then you made this big mad assumption. Now, on the flip side as well, the friend handled it kind of mad as well by being, you know, by being Mammy Big Knickers, kind of, paying for the
everything. What was she doing?
Jumping the gun, paying for everything, not allowing the conversation to happen in the fly, because if it had happened maybe after the first experience, maybe some of the subsequent expensive events wouldn't have happened. But then, even worse is the bill at the end of the thing, you know, sending
the
you a bill.
Invoice.
It's not.
That's so weird.
It's so weird.
Did she not
it's very controlling.
The
yeah.
Like, you can.
There are other versions of that.
Yeah. There are things, but you can request people for money as you go. Like, you don't have to put it all together in a detailed invoice at the end of the holiday. This, because money and friendships, so, as we say,
kind of just interject there. Maybe, this just occurred to me, maybe the rich friend was, you know, they were there for a week and every night that she was paying for it, and she was kind of waiting for, when is she going to offer to pay?
Yeah.
And that never happened, and maybe she should have said something about this as well.
And maybe because she has more money, she shouldn't have that worry, because that was someone else, maybe less money, you would be like, are you actually going to put the hand out. Like, but I just think with this, these are the two worst communicators I have ever met in my life. Yeah. Oh my God, this is horrific. I would hate to see you in the doll or anything. Like, you're just so... Actually, no, you might be quite good at it because you're kind of skirting around the issue. But, like, I just... I it blows my mind that the friend who obviously couldn't afford these experiences... I know it's not the nice thing to be able to say, especially if someone earns more than you, but she couldn't say, I actually can't afford this. Can we look at some other options? Maybe come to the friend with other options that are just as nice and say, look, or even if we, like, work to a compromise, like, we can do one of these activities or something. You have to be very honest with money. The two of them from the offset should have been honest about splitting bills, everything like that. That should be always set out if you're going on holidays with friends. That has to be at the beginning of the holiday.
And it doesn't matter whether it's friends or whether it's family members. You know, there's always going to be a disparity in what people have, in terms of money. And that is going to determine what they're willing or able to do. And unless there's a clear communication about how the money thing is going to be addressed, then you have to do it on the fly. You have to go, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I am going to. And I think in this instance, I think that this, the woman.
This is all what she should have done.
Yeah.
What does she do now?
Well, I think I do. Like I said earlier on, I do think that there's a certain aspect of it where because they both made communication mistakes, there isn't total blame on one particular side.
I agree. Yeah.
And I do also think, though, that the letter writer does owe something. You can't expect 100%. Not to owe anything.
I think, yeah,
anything.
100%. And she needs to talk to her friend about that, but you have to pay her back to some extent.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, she said that the other friend kind of was annoyed that she didn't pay that 750 in the one go, right? Which, okay, you wouldn't really expect someone to do that, but like it would have been much easier if they could pay it off in installments. But she could have said to her, I'll pay it off in installments. Like, there's ways around this, you know. And if a friend was a good friend and they understood, maybe this girl has never been upfront about her money situations, but if she was, then that other friend, if she was a good person, she'd be like, okay, you can pay me off bit by bit, there's no rush. But like, she needs to pay her back. Like, you can't expect your friend to pay your way. She's not like your keeper.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you can't afford to be somewhere, you know, you shouldn't be there unless you know the other person is definitely covering for you. Because, you know, it could have been that the friend was not as rich as if she's demanding 750 quid immediately after a holiday. Maybe she's not as flush.
That's the thing, is she boasting a bit, but it's not actually the reality. And it could be putting up
fine.
These. Yeah,
you know,
and that's
people
grand.
Do that all the time. People lie about how much money they earn. Look at Donald Trump. But the reality of it is, you know, the fact of the matter is that it that's irrelevant to the person who's actually coming over with the bill.
Exactly.
They want their money paid. They don't care where the money's coming from. And if you haven't got you to cover your part there, you have to be sure that the other person
But never send a friend an invoice, lads. Whatever you're going to do, like, it's just wild moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Okay. Well, good luck with those negotiations, Aidan and Declan. Thank you very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.